This is the Aftermarket Radio Network. Hi, Carm Capriotto, the Aftermarket Podcast Guy. Welcome to the 87th Carmcast show on Remarkable Results Radio. In honor of March's Woman History Month, I assembled a panel of lady shop owners to discuss the woman's role in the aftermarket. The ladies brought some wide-ranging perspectives, and I loved the trajectory of this discussion. No matter your position or gender in our beloved aftermarket, give this episode your due. The ladies were on fire. You can watch the video on the Carmcast page on remarkableresults.biz website. I know the podcast has grown to be a very important and influential part of your personal networking. The industry has seen the benefit of the diverse content we create for you each week, so you can catch a wave of shared insights and ideas and make them your own. Hey, I'm grateful for your support and for being a loyal listener. We're here with a heck of a group of woman shop owners. We're going to talk about the impact on our industry, companies, and the community. Now, here's my panel. With me is Emily Chung from Auto Niche in Markham, Ontario, just north of me. I'm from Buffalo. I think you all know that. Emily's a licensed automotive service technician. She teaches in the Automotive Business School of Canada at Georgian College, and she has a degree in psychology and business. Welcome, Emily.
Thank you.
Dr. Laura Schwalick, the Auto Shop Plano, Texas, Bachelor of Science in the field of cellular, molecular, and microbial biology. I'll get that right, Laura. Yeah. and a doctorate in chiropractic with certificates in neurology, applied kinesiology. Did I say that right? Nutrition.
Kinesiology, yeah.
And functional endocrinology. She practices wellness and functional medicine in Texas for 20 years, and she's in business with her husband Jerry at the auto shop in Plano. Karen Manelis, Auto Care Plus, New Hampshire. Great story about Karen, too. You all have just wonderful stories. You've all done podcasts with me. Karen holds a Bachelor of Science degree in electrical engineering, and I think was it 15 years? You and your husband worked as electrical engineers, and then you said, we need to become shop owners, right?
Yes, absolutely. Jump ship.
Yeah, she works with her husband since 2004, and you have seven locations?
Seven, yes. We're working on the eighth.
Imagine that,
so,
huh?
So, yes, seven right now.
What we can learn from you. Judy Hagelin is with us from Hagelin Automotive, Boulder, Colorado. Judy was with me yesterday in the live show Aftermarket Weekly, and we had a blast. She talked about getting back to basics. She's in business with her husband, Dana. She's an ATI coach and a leader of the Leading Ladies 20 group, and that is a phenomenal group. And Daniel Bowman is with us, Highway 7 Service Center, Newell, Iowa. Your goal, your mission, I recall, Danielle, when we had our podcast together, is to create work-life harmony with and for husband Brett. You're spending more time away from the business, I think you told me, and you've contributed to three podcasts with some great insights, so thank you for being here. Hey, we have a sponsor today. Hey, did you know that Broadly is a company that helps auto shops get more reviews and improve customer experience? Well, they've partnered with a company called Think Like an App for free training to help your shop grow. The training teaches you how to build trust with your customers so that they'll come back and recommend you, and that trust translates into more revenue and profitability for your shop. Broadly is sponsoring this training for you, and it's free. Here's how you sign up. It's really a cool URL. Visit getbroadly.com/carm to register. Hey, thanks for Broadly for hanging out and being here. Laura and I talked yesterday, and you need to share this story to start us off. She's hanging out with her team, and she goes, hey, I'm going to be on a podcast tomorrow about, you know, woman in the aftermarket. And they said to you,
well, I asked them, well, I don't know what I've really contributed to the industry, the company, the customers, so I want to ask you. Now, I had some talking points already that I thought I was going to talk about, but one of the things that they said was, just by you being here, you being a female being here, that makes the female customers feel more welcome and feel safe. Just by me being here, they could relax by just when they come in. And then the other thing they said was that how much better their paperwork is. I know you guys all know what I'm talking about. Yep. Their write-ups, from the technicians to the service advisors, the estimates, everything. They are crossing their T's and dotting their I's. So those are the two main things that they said that since I've been on board that has made the biggest difference.
That's a really good thing. At least they didn't say you make really good coffee.
No, I don't make the coffee. Point.
I don't either. I don't drink coffee.
Yeah.
If I make the coffee, nobody will drink it, I'm sure.
That was something our team was talking about this morning, too, in our leadership meeting that we have every Wednesday morning. And I asked our team, too, like, what do I bring to the shop? And what is something we should highlight when I have this opportunity? And one of the funnier things that they mentioned was we have a communication board. It's a whiteboard out in our shop. And they're like, well, since Amanda, who we just hired, she's a woman in our industry too, she writes really neatly on the board and it's legible. Opposed to my husband writing chicken scratch up there and the text can't see it. And so I think we bring a lot just to, you know, the write-up process, but also to the atmosphere, the environment of our shops, cleanliness, all sorts of different things that I think a woman might notice more than a man might.
One of the other things that they also mentioned was that now they have a communication between the front of the shop and the back of the shop and the marketing so that everyone's informed of exactly what's going on. And I didn't know that that was important to them, honestly. I didn't really think that some of the techs or service advisors cared what was happening in the different areas. However, come to find out, they really do care and they do want to know.
Yeah, but Laura, that didn't take a lady's influence to make that happen. I mean, anyone could have done that, even Jerry.
It takes someone who cares, and it takes somebody who I believe really is good at communication. And that's not to be gender specific, but generally women do communicate more. Men, they have a plan, but they hold the plan close. You know, oh, no one can see the plan. Whereas women, we want to share the plan. This is the plan. Everybody on the plan? Okay, let's execute the plan.
So I think one of the things that I have been seeing, and I with especially the ladies group that I'm in, the 20 group, there's a lot of women out there, and I'm probably sitting with four other of you that are really drivers of the business. And that's really okay. Everybody needs to be okay with saying that I am the one that is the planner or the get it done. And I know at our shop, if somebody wants something, they know that if it's something big, you go to Judy. Judy gets it done. If I don't write it down, it won't happen. But if she writes it down, you have a good chance of getting it. But it's that it's okay to be the leader in an all male dominated industry. And it's okay. And we joke at our ladies group. We have a social thing every time when we meet. And I had said, you know what? I really am the driver at Hagelin Automotive. And I never wanted to say that because I didn't want to hurt Dana's feelings. Dana doesn't care. He says, yeah, you are. It's about time you realized it. And they all said, you came out of the closet, Judy. And I went, yeah, I did. I came out of the closet and said, you know, I'm the driver of Hagelin Automotive. And I'm one of the main reasons why we are where we are today. And that is the message I want to just send out to all the women out there, whether you're a service writer, whether you're a customer service person, you do make a difference. Whatever your job is, you can be that driver in that position.
I've been told from employees that they feel comfortable bouncing ideas off of me because I give a different perspective. Because primarily we do have men that work for us. We do have women because I've been, you know, the owner, they've said that they felt more comfortable coming to work for our stores because there's a woman that's at the top as well. And they just feel more comfortable with that. So it's worked out to a benefit in many different ways.
I know, Emily, that you're sitting there chomping at the bit to come in here. And Judy, you said something, you know, you finally realized the woman thing. And, you know, Emily is very specific on that gender shouldn't matter. You know, it's the skill. And I love her for it. I love her insights. Great episode on it. Emily, come on into this conversation with us.
I mean, you know, I always say this, right? I'm for the same goal. I'm for equality in trades. I'm for equality in, you know, in every respect, you know, and I always say this too, like the opinion that I have is not hashtag friendly. It's not mainstream. It's not popular. And frankly, if I had mainstream ideas, I would have a very mainstream kind of life. And that's not the life that I lead. So, you know, for me, it is, I just have a different, I guess, mindset or method to thinking about, you know, gender stuff and issues that we face in our industry. And I'm speaking from, again, my position as a female in the trades, female as a sole shop owner, all this stuff. To me, it's not about the skill. When I listen to you guys talk, like, it really is about the communication piece. And I don't know, maybe I just know different kind of men. Like, I know men who just won't stop talking and it drives me crazy, you know? And it's not, and I fully agree with you. Women bring a different perspective, and that's why I love our position in industry. And having said that, men also bring different perspective. You know, Caucasian people bring different perspective. Asians bring different, like, it's just everything, right? We're all different and we're all unique. And I think that that's the beauty of being able to be the leader of the shop and be able to quarterback all the differences and be able to, you know, find ways that we can work together. Like, that to me is a skill, and it's not dependent on my gender per se, you know? And so to me, that's sort of just where my mind is at. I understand that, you know, I mean, it's important for us as women to get together and chat and network, because, you know, I always give this example. It's like me watching a Raptors game with other Raptors fans, or it's like me as a new mom, you know, joining the LaLeche League for, you know, because we're just at different stages. There are certain things that guys will never have to deal with as a tech, you know, that females do. And having said that, there are things that guys will have to deal with that I never will have to consider, which is just fine with me, you know? So to me, that's my perspective. It's about the skill. It's about, if it's communication that I want, it's about developing the communication side. If it's negotiation skills, it's about developing that. You know, and gender to me is sort of, yes, I agree with you. We have stereotypes. You know, there's this one, and just final thought, I guess, is on this piece is that, you know, there's a stat out there that the average number of words that a woman speaks in a day is 20,000. Okay. Women in general speak 20,000 words. And contrast that with men in general speak 7,000 words. So we're a 3-to-1 ratio already. And so I knew very well coming into the industry that, you know what, if I want to be able to have influence and communicate with the guys, I'm going to be able to, you know, pare down some of my wording. Now, me personally, I'm closer to the 7,000 anyways than the 20,000. So that's a benefit to me. But so, you know, I respect the stereotypes. I respect the, you know, the differences and all that. And for me, honestly, personally, I just look at this as, how do I make all of this stuff work so that at the end of the day, we fix the cars well, we give the good client service, you know? And I mean, if people feel more comfortable because I'm a female and I'm there, then great. That's not really what I'm after though. You know, I have a service advisor, he's a guy, and he's good with the ladies. We make fun of him for this, you know? And I mean, but that's him, because he just has such a hospitable heart, and mm-hmm. he has such a great way of communicating with it. And it's not, to me, about the gender thing with him, you know, and I just so respect him for that, because I don't have the same skills that he does. Like, I'm not, you know, to that degree.
Ladies, are you better in any certain area than men as it relates to the business?
Multitasking, for sure. In our case, we have so many different stores that I'm getting hit with different questions and different issues sometimes all at once. And I have to be able to handle all of that and jump from, you know, store to store, person to person, and deal with all of that. And I just see how my husband, for instance, handles the multitasking, and he has to be very focused in handling this one. And then he can move to the next, where I can make a quick decision here and jump to the next and jump back. And so I do see that as a benefit.
I think that it goes back to, I think what Emily had said about the skills is knowing, and I know we've done the behavioral bird test, and I know what my forte is, and I know what Dana's forte is, and I know what my techs and my front staff forte is. So how do we fill each other's holes, and who does the job at the very best? And I think being able to look at that aspect is important. And I don't think it's necessarily a female issue there, but it's really knowing what your strengths are and what you bring. And if I can, Karma, I want to jump onto what Emily had said a little bit. When we had our very first Leading Ladies 20 group with 20 other women business owners, the ATI put the agenda together. And one of the things was being a female in the industry. And we talked about, okay, we are. And we have tatas, and are we done with this conversation? It lasted 5 minutes. And I said, okay, now we're here as business owners. Let's get to business. How do we learn more? How do we grow up? What do we do in our business? What do you do in your business? And we took that approach, and it totally changed everybody's minds, because the guys were all going, oh my God, what are we going to do with this 20 group? And we don't want to touch it with a, you know, 20-foot pole, not let alone 10. And once we went through the first two meetings and we were, and I was looking for business stuff going, okay, how do we talk numbers? They don't, I have a lot of women that don't know the numbers. What do we do? How do we do the KPIs? And we have grown into where I've probably 50% of the women were in the fringe, and now they're actually running their businesses, which is so exciting to watch. So it just really goes back to what Emily said. I totally agree. It's get over the fact that I have a different body. I can hold my own with anybody, and they can hold their own with me, and let's get to work, because that's what we're here for, is to get better, to be better leaders, to help the industry.
Carm, back to your question about the, you know, what we're better at, I will say, like, on from my perspective as a tech, you know, in my shop back when I was on the floor still, I would be maybe a little bit better at, you know, HVAC work or dash work because I can get in there, right? I have the fine motor skills and all that. You know, the guys would be better at some of the larger jobs. And so, but that again is just a sheer natural physical size of us, right? It's not to say that a guy that's my size wouldn't be good either. It just happens that at my shop, given the people that I have, you know, these are how we're going to, you know, assign this certain tasks. So, I mean, there are certain advantages to being one or the other for sure. And it's also about knowing how do you, as business owners, you know, how do you kind of move all these pieces together so that we can have effective businesses?
Do your teams come to you and say, we love to have you here. We love to have you lead this business with your significant other. And in Emily's case, you know, it's not yours, but in the other ladies, it is. You bring a sense of family, and it is, you know, the atmosphere that we work in because of the female lead is so much better than other shops that I've worked at that hadn't had that. Do you hear that?
My nickname is Mama Haglin. I don't know how else to say anything different than that. It's Mama Haglin makes her Judy cakes, cupcakes for birthday celebrations. And I, you know, there's always those little peppermint patties in the freezer for Laura, my front service writer, who absolutely loves those. So it's taking care of those things. And I think that's that nurture thing that, but yeah, Mama Haglin, she takes care of everybody. That's what I do.
I do think having the children, you are more sensitive to the needs of your employees family-wise, and something comes up and you get it. You understand, yeah. And you are, you know, much, much more understanding of situations. Obviously, not if somebody's going to take advantage of that, but you do tend to be.
I do think, though, that, like, you know, just to, I mean, if Karen and Judy, you guys have been speaking, but, you know, I'm willing to bet that they are thankful that you guys are there because of the perspective and who you are as people. Mm-hmm. Yes, you're women, and yes, you have that nurturing side and all that. And I just speak from experience working for other women. There are some women out there that are just mean, and you can get what kind of B word I'm about to, you know, think like it, you know. So when I think about putting the crux of the gender as the reason why, you know, I'm willing to pitch that, you know, Laura, Danielle, that your staff love you because of who you are, because you are women who care and are compassionate and, you know, want that business. It's not because of your body parts. Like that conversation to me is just, I don't grasp that.
Well, so. I'll talk from the point of view. I've always been in a male dominating everything I've ever done. I grew up with three older brothers. I am an electrical engineer, so you can only imagine what I was up against there. And then we end up buying a shop, all male dominating yet again. So I have certainly had so many challenges, from growing up in my household, mm-hmm. to going to college, from professors, the comments that I had to put up with. And I always felt like I had to overcompensate and constantly prove myself because I'm only 5'1", to be honest. Usually I say 5'2". 70% of our customers are women, and they've come to me, they've pulled me out in the parking lot and said how comfortable they are knowing that I'm there because they too have gotten treated the way that I have gotten treated. And I'll be honest, I even walk into a dealership to get parts, and there's my Boston accent, to get parts. And, you know, I get the, what are you doing? And it's like, well, I own.
What are we doing to take that, if you will, stereotype out inside at our counters and amongst our peoples?
I don't think that it's on our counters and our peoples. I don't think the stereotype is there. I think it's in the bigger industry. And I'll just think an example of, we went to SEMA one year and my name badge had said, I don't know whether it's spouse or whatever it was. And I didn't think anything of it because I don't think of, I'm a business owner and this is what I do. And as we were walking around the booth, they wouldn't give me the time of day.
Yes,
I was not an owner. So I went, I said, honey, he says, what's up? I said, I got to go change my name tag. And he goes, why? And I said, because nobody talks to me and that doesn't work for me. If I want to talk about a product, I need to know that they've got that attention. So it's more industry, bigger picture. It's really not in the shop it's kind of like that family thing of it is who we are and where we are. But I think it's industry wide. It's not, I've done some training for CTI. WTI, and they talked about whatever the topic was, and I said, okay, I'm going to just point out that you have 6 speakers. Not one of them is a female, and we're talking about female owners and business being a female or whatever. I said, you need some female perspective.
Okay, here. I'm doing a panel on females, and I have 5.
Nice.
And I'm going to say, you have who in the background, Carm? Who's behind the scenes for you?
My daughter, yep. Tracy.
You just hired your daughter, Tracy, so way to go. Yeah. Way to go.
Yep. All right.
Thanks. One of the things that many business owners say that they struggle with, and I hear this a lot in the automotive industry, is how do I get my employees to listen to me? And as a female coming into a male-dominated industry, how do I, as the manager of this shop and owner, get them to listen to me? And quite honestly, the thing that worked the best for me was to inspect what I expected. Mm-hmm. And to tell them what my expectations were. And I made spreadsheets that they had never seen before. And I said, okay, you guys, this is your report card. This is right now, you get 5%. You guys are failing at this. And this is what I expect. I expect to see 85 to 95% in this category. The previous manager hadn't even told them that was something that was a part of their job that they needed to do. And so just inspecting what we expect and then communicating that to them in such a way that they feel like it's an opportunity for them to improve rather than making them wrong. Like, for example, today when I go into our shop meeting, because ever since COVID, we've been providing lunch for them every day, and that may be why they call me mom. Mm-hmm. But in our meeting today, I have 4 different reports, write-ups from the technicians, and I really am looking forward to telling them what a great job they did, how impressed I am. They want to impress me. They want to do a good job. They want me to give them a pat on the back and a big smile. Like, they work hard for that and that appreciation. And so sometimes it can be a men or women that give that type of appreciation. However, it's the communication of inspecting what we expect and then telling them, you know, hey, what's working and what's not, in such a way where they feel honored and respected at the same time, and not being mean, like Emily was saying, not being the B word.
You know, you just described something so interesting. It didn't matter if it was male or female. You set expectations. I mean, you held people accountable. You had to tell them for what, but male, female, it just doesn't matter. So, I love where this conversation is going, ladies. I really do. Daniel, you were deep in the business, and now I think you're taking some time away. Explain that to us.
Yes. So I worked just 3 days at the shop, and I did the bookkeeping, paperwork, that type of thing, all the behind-the-scenes things. And then when COVID came, and still is here, I started homeschooling our 4 children. So I've been working from home, which is a totally different ball game, but it's going well. But what that allowed, I think, is for me just to have an outside perspective. I'm still doing the book work. I'm still doing that, but I'm not physically at our shop. And so it's just really, and I don't think it's because I'm a woman, but just because, again, kind of how Emily, it's just a different perspective now. My role has shifted outside the shop. So it's just brought just a different perspective, something that I can see without being there daily, what is going on more on a big picture. So when I was at the shop every day, or 3 days a week, I was there getting my work done, checking off the lists, the to-dos, making sure things were running the way it should. Now being at home, I can't do that. So I have to trust the leadership that's there. And also then when I come in, it's almost like when you go on a shop visit and you've never been to someone's shop and you go and you take a look around and you start noticing all these little things. I feel like I can bring that to our team now, because I'm not there every day. I'm not in the grind. And so it's been kind of neat to see just the little things, how things are operating, maybe things we can improve, even just different marketing strategies or cleanliness or curb appeal, whatever it might be, something that I just don't see every day. So I have a new perspective.
Does Brett miss you?
I'm sure he does. But he also knows that it's been a huge blessing for us to be able to have me at home homeschooling and doing that with the children. But yeah, I was going to say a little while back, we were talking about how when your spouse works in the industry with you, what maybe your team or customers notice. And this wasn't necessarily gender again, but personality. Mine is maybe more of a calmer, quieter, more loving and kind. That's my personality, not necessarily because I'm a woman, but that's who I am, nurturing. Brett's very direct and get things done. And he just brings a totally different, like a drive to our business. And so the two of us really complement each other. So that's been missing in our shop. Now the leadership in the shop is very driven. And so he's had to grow a lot as a leader to see the people for them being people and not just workers. And he's had to step up his leadership, which has been a great blessing, not only for at the shop, but at home too. Because then he too, when he comes home, I feel like he has a different leadership than before. So it's been good, challenging, but good.
I love what she said. Compliment each other. Everybody's shaking their heads. Explain to me the impact that those words mean to you.
I'll jump in. I know that I talked about the bird test, and we have where Dana's like an owl, and he's definitely the technician. I got to tell you what, he takes forever to think about it. He takes forever to do things. And they have the eagle, and that is fast going, make a decision, let's make it happen. And as we've been doing this since 1981 for 40 years now. And we're 24/7, and everybody goes, wow, how the heck do you do that? And one of the biggest things we learned was that personality difference, where we'd be driving into work together and I would say, hey, you know, we should probably do blah, 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 whatever it was. And he looks at me and he's like, oh my God, do I need to stop the car? Do we need to do it right now? That's how we heard it. And I went, no, I want you to think about it. So just talking to each other, I know that when I have a big idea or some big change, I say, hey, I want you to think about this, mull it around a little bit. When you're done mulling and you've thought about it, come back to me and we'll have a conversation. And it could be in an hour. It may take him a week or 2 weeks, depending on what it is. And all of a sudden he'll go, hey, you know that idea you talked about? I'm ready to talk about it now.
Judy, do eagles swoop in and eat owls?
No, I don't eat the owls. I do eat the peacocks, though, and they're the flamboyant ones. They make great service writers. They're the people, and I have peacock feathers like all the time. And it is your personality. And it's funny, my daughter, who's in the medical field and through residency right now, and she's dealing with a bunch of women in OBGYN, and she goes, they're not loving, they're like your ladies, mom. They're a little bit on the cuckoo. She's right here. She's in now. She said, it's not that blameless problem solving that you guys have in the ladies group at all. And that's really what she was kind of hoping. So she's been trying to change that culture through her leadership style. And she's another eagle. And she called her dad one day and said, I have a dove. And doves are 60% of the population. And they're very sweet and very loving. She goes, I don't know what to do. And I said, don't talk to me. You need to talk to your dad. He'll help you with all of that.
Yeah. The owl will know what to do. Karen, you and John, compatible? How does it work there?
What does he say? He says there's a multiplier, 8-year multiplier for every year you're married. It's really like 8 when you work together. So we'll be 30 years so it has its challenges. I think honestly we balance each other. We have a company-wide Skype, a company-wide Skype, And sometimes he's pretty abrasive in it. And I end up coming in and I get the Skypes behind the scenes from employees saying, here comes the voice of reason.
But he knows that. He knows that you're going to come up and wipe up behind him, huh?
Exactly.
Oh, my.
Exactly. Or kind of, you know, have it a little different. Okay, he's about, you know, here's the problem and focusing on what the problem in the moment. And then I come in saying, okay, we have a problem. Why don't we sit down and let's try to talk about a solution? And
is this part of your strategy, though? I mean, you know, all right, I'm going to let him go because he's going to make the real heavy point, and then I'm going to come up and build a consensus. I mean, is this how you really do business?
I think it's been a little inadvertently, you know, but it works. It seems to totally work. And, you know, our employees definitely step up and form a solution. So I don't know if it's a little bit of the good cop, bad cop thing or what, but, you know, but the expectation and I, last time I got the, I was waiting for you. So
Laura, we have done episodes together with you and Jerry, and love Jerry, love you guys so much. And, I continue to drink the bourbon, that Jerry sent me. How about you and Jerry working together?
Well, a lot of women had asked me, you know, how do you put up with him? And I simply had just say, you know what? I just wind him up in the morning and watch him go. So he used to be really, really firm with the employees and kind of cut them down and say, this is my shop. This is the way it is. If you don't like it, you know, hit the road. But times have changed. You know, people don't respond to that anymore. In fact, they are really repelled by that. And so we have a different leadership styles. And how I lead is simply by having a straightforward conversation with someone. And he is learning really to lead by humor. And I really see his humor coming out so much more. And the guys really enjoy being with him now. Sometimes it used to be that he didn't, the guys would leave and they wouldn't even say goodnight or say good morning. And now they want to come in at the end of the day and sit in the what we call the fishbowl, where our office is, and they want to just sit and talk with him. It's really amazing. We have a very, very synergistic relationship. And like the other women that are married, you probably find that you push him a little to improve and he pushes you a little to improve. And in this way, we're both improving at the same time. And the shop and everyone that we interface with, customers included, will also improve.
Emily, let me just change the topic a little bit. If your female customers come in and says, hey, it's great doing business with you?
No, I don't think so. Because honestly, like, I mean, they talk to Josh a lot more than me. And they love, you know, what we bring to the table. And I don't know, ladies, I don't know, maybe I've just been burned too many times by other women. I just don't subscribe to the idea that I can trust somebody more simply because of their body parts. Like, to me, that just doesn't make sense. I might be able to build rapport with them a little bit more because we go through the same things, right? That we have the same, you know, common journeys. And so, but that's, again, no different than me when I build rapport with a male business owner. I can talk to him about different things. And you know, it's all this to me is just about my skill as a leader to look at other people and see how can I meet them where they are faster so that I can have a conversation with them more effectively. And, you know, Judy mentioned and I'm part of ATI as well, so I understand all the birds and everything. My background is in psychology. I was a psychometrist for a few years. And, you know, the quadrant that Judy talks about, we actually use that with our customers. We code our, I don't know if any of my customers are listening. We code our clients, and that allows my advisor to better communicate with them after knowing what quadrant they are. And that's no different than, you know, even my own kids. I have two teenage boys now, and I know what quadrant they sit in. So how I influence them to do homework is going to be different, way different for one kid than the other kid. And again, that's just my journey in growing and becoming that leader to be able to, you know, navigate between those quadrants and be flexible enough that I don't just sit in mine and expect everybody to come to me. So I don't have a spouse in the business. At the same time, you know, for me, it's about surrounding myself then with people who make up for the skills that I don't have, because there's many, right? And having that right team.
And I think that's similar for every one of us sitting here. And I know that I don't say it as well as Emily, but I really believe that there are more women in the industry, which is great. And I would like to think that I know that I've brought three along as customer service people. And one is with, I think, BMW, and she's a top third salesperson. And they've gotten great training, and they're out there and they're making a really good living in this industry. But it's just because we're women. I think that it's more about, how do you run your business? What kind of a leader are you? Do you lead by example? Your knowledge? I know that when I have new employees, they do look at me and say, okay, do you really know your stuff? And after about a week, they go, oh yeah, okay, we're good. I can trust everything that you're good. And it's because I'm knowledgeable in my field. Mm-hmm. And they may have that stereotype, but they soon get past that. I don't think that. So when we sit here as a group of five of us, five women in the industry, and knowing it's come so far. When I first started 40 years ago, I'd answer the phone. They go, I need to talk to a tech. And it's like, what do you need? I need to make an appointment. Yeah, I can do that for you. And I can do it probably better than that one, but that's okay. But we've come so far, and the conversation of just because you're a woman in the industry, to me is so old, that it's really, how do we bring our young women around and then grow them to be leaders in our industry and to give back and make our industry a better industry just because we have better people in the industry. I've seen women in the industry that they suck. They're terrible.
Yeah,
just hands down, they suck. There are women business owners that I was like, not going to be. No, birds of a feather flock together. That one is not going to be in my flock. Not going to happen. So it's, for me, it's a much, much bigger picture.
It has nothing to do with the fact that they're women. It has everything to do with the kind of person that they are. And all I kept hearing here in the last 10 minutes was the word leadership. It has nothing to do with men, has nothing to do with women. It's if you have studied leadership, want to be a great leader, no matter what body parts that you have, who was saying that, Emily, Laura, that it just doesn't matter. And be compassionate for people, learn great leadership skills, be an influencer. And yes, but Mama Hagelin can make the cookies, right?
And the cupcakes.
I can't imagine Dana, you know, doing chocolate chip. I just can't imagine. But so
you could. Yeah, no, that's not happening. Right. No, that's not happening.
Look, we're like 38, 39 minutes in. Let's give you all a chance to put a bow on this. Thank you all so much for being here. This was great. I loved the dialogue. I knew this would be wide-ranging, exciting, and very fulfilling. So let's start around the room. Emily, I'll give you the last word.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to take away the fact that we are women and we do bring a different perspective. We do have a different way of thinking and you know, and so there's, like I said, we celebrate that. At the same time, that's not what I personally lead with. You know, as I raised two teen boys and, you know, one of them comes to me and tells me they want to be a service advisor. I'm not going to be that mom to say, no, no, honey, you know what? You, like, typically females, and they'll feel more comfortable with other, like, I can't even imagine saying that to my boys. You know what? You want to be a service advisor? Awesome. Here are some of the skills that you're going to need. Let's get to work, you know? And that's what I'm for. And I think for me, being a female in the industry, the way that I can advance more women, you know, in this to kind of build that equality is to do my work well. And at the end of the day, demonstrate that I earned my place here. And show them that, you know, the young women coming up, that it is possible. Here's how I did it. And even the young men, if you want to be in this industry, no problem. I mean, at the end of the day, we're at a skilled labor shortage, at least here in Canada. I'm pretty sure in the U.S. Mm-hmm. it's about the same. You know, I'm for people skilled. And like, if you want to be male, female, purple, yellow, blue, brown, whatever, come on, let's do this, you know?
So, excellent. Oh, thank you so. Appreciate that. Thank you. Danielle.
I guess my thing is, I never felt any pushback from the industry being a woman in the industry. I came actually from a cosmetology background, so that was like female dominated. And then I had to get over me being a female in the industry. Mm. Once I got past that, I felt so much more successful. My leadership just took off. It's because of my mindset. I didn't see myself as the only woman in the industry. And so I think for, you know, spouses out there, other women shop owners, any women that like want to be in the industry, don't put the barrier up. Like my barrier was up when I came in and I did not enjoy the industry. But once I removed that and saw myself as equal to the men in the industry, that I can own a shop, I can lead a shop, I can be successful in this industry, that's when I found my success.
Oh, wow. This went beyond my expectations. Thank you, Dr. Laura.
The leadership just keeps coming up. It's who you are and how do you bring the best out in each person of your team and have everyone on the team work together as a team. So like I said earlier, it doesn't really matter whether you're female or male. It's how you lead the team and really just making sure that everyone is doing what they're supposed to do in a way that's respectful for everyone.
And make sure Jerry buys dinner tonight.
It was our 18th wedding anniversary on Monday, and he took me out, and I'm still full.
Happy anniversary. Happy anniversary.
Congrats. Oh, thank you. Karen.
Wow. You all had wonderful things to say. It's hard to follow. I'd rather be first. Well, I mean, for me, I also, Judy, I think you were the one that mentioned about getting a customer phone call and them wanting to speak to someone else just because, you know, they want to schedule an appointment with a male. And I, too, have been in that position many a times. I still can pick up the phone and they'll say to me, are you new? Are you, you know, can I talk to someone else? And I feel that we are here to kind of educate each customer or even employee one person at a time if we do run into any kind of, I guess, biases or stigmas that they may have. And so some people learn by either working with you, under you, or just conversations. And I think that if we just continue to just be the people who we are, and honestly, it's all about character, our own character, our integrity, as well as the ones that we surround ourselves with. And we do build a better leadership team if we surround ourselves with people of the similar ideals.
Well, thank you so much, Karen. Judy, you're batting cleanup.
I'm batting cleanup. Great. And I'm going to bow. I would agree that some great things have been shared. But what warms my heart, I have to say, is that we started out with, we're women in the industry. Once again, yep, we all are. Yep, yep, wait. Yep, I have them, and I will always have them, hopefully, knock on wood. But then it all evolved to around, how do you run your business? How do you get better? What's your leadership skills? What's your interpersonal skills? What's your team like? What's your business? How do your KPIs? Spreadsheets. Laura mentioned spreadsheets. If you ask my ladies in my ladies group, it's like, I created a spreadsheet, and they go, oh my God, of course you did. It really is. The whole conversation was, yep, we're women. Get past that, because guess what? We're gonna make progress. We're gonna make it happen, and we're awesome business women, business owners. Whether we're women or not, we're really a force to be reckoned with because we're good business owners, we're good leaders, and just generally good people. And I have to tell you, I'm impressed, ladies. Way to go.
Oh, man. There's nothing more to say. I can't even come up with a summary. You ladies knocked it out of the park. Thank you for being here in honor of Women History Month and the last day of the month, which was my idea to bring the superior ladies together to have a discussion with you. Ladies, thanks. Bye.
Thanks,
Carl.
Bye.
Thanks.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.